digital revolution.
The future of radio.
You're weak and sure of yourself.
Actually,
the fact that you possess a sense of morality and we do not gives us an evolutionary advantage.
CyberstationUSA.com.
And if history has proven anything,
there's another problem with TV, believe it or not.
It is that evolution always wins.
From Ajijic, Mexico, on the shores of beautiful Lake Chapala, it's Music Sin Fronteras. I'm your host, Patrick O'Heffernan. This is your show. Our guests are here to talk with you. So call in 917-889-3068. Now, that's a U.S. number. If you're calling in from Mexico, don't forget to add the plus and all the code numbers you have to do with that. Or you can email us. You can email us at musicscenefronterasmx@gmail.com. I want to welcome all of our listeners on the CyberstationUSA.com network. I also want to welcome all of our listeners on the Artistic Echoes and Canal Side Radio Network in the UK, who will be hearing us tomorrow, as well, of course, as everybody on Blog Talk Radio. And again, if you have questions or comments of our guests, call us 917-889-3068 or email us musicscenefronterasmx@gmail.com. Now, if you're listening to us on a podcast or in England, you can still email questions to our guest, and we will forward them to her. Okay. Oh, as always, remember, we are in Mexico, which is a joyfully musical and very noisy country. Our studio is in downtown, and we're on the ground floor. Our soundproofing is pretty good, but, you know, you may occasionally hear the odd gas truck, the high school marching band, which does come down our street, horses, yes, we have a few of those that come down the street, or just plain people coming out of the bar across the street singing. So there we are. Let me just say, in the 3+ years that I have been following Binks, she has never ceased to amaze me. She's a songwriter, a model, an online media personality, a multimedia expert, a great pop singer, just everything. And with her onstage persona, the African Bee, she really killed with her debut song in the U.S. radio hit. And she set a new bar with Headlights from her debut album, Buzz. And then her second song on that album came out, Shockwaves, which moved the bar up even higher. But her newest work, the album Bee from Mars, which was released last night, moves the bar literally into orbit. It's that good. Every song grabs you by the ears and blasts off, takes you around the dark side of the moon, and then eases you back into low Earth orbit while the lyrics sink into your DNA. Binks continues to be everywhere, and I mean everywhere. She's in Chicago, she's in Hollywood, she's in London, she's in South Africa, and with this album, of course, she's in outer space. But best of all, she's here with us today. Binks, welcome back. We are delighted to talk with you.
Hi, Patrick. Thank you so, so much for having me again. I always love chatting with you.
Well, we always love chatting with you. And congratulations on Bee from Mars. There's 10 great songs on it. Now, how did you get the idea to fly to Mars to do an album? And did you use your bee wings to get there?
I mean, your description was just brilliant of the album. I really appreciated that. I mean, why not go to Mars? You know, we should be going to visiting all the planets.
Sounds like you have a...
What's that?
Go ahead.
I got the idea. I mean, I've always been inspired by space and existentialism, and I've always just been curious about what we have outside of our universe, but it wasn't even intentional that a lot of the songs I was writing were space themed. It's just obviously a very dominant interest of mine, and it started to come out in the music more recently. And so I have Space DJ, which is a song about my dad, and then I have a song called Love on Mars, which I wrote about falling in love. And so it's kind of just finding that out of this world kind of love. But yeah, the theme definitely became more galactic than I expected.
Well, it sounds like you have a new career ahead of you as a consultant to NASA. But,
but I hope so.
Yeah, wouldn't that be fun? Well, what I've heard of the album, and I've listened to all the album now, is it tells me that this album both deepens and expands your pop sound. And I want to play one particular song that struck me as doing both of these things, and that is Neighbors. Here is Neighbors.
I'm looking through my window. I can see you laid on. Maybe it's spending more than that on. Follow the colors of the wind. It took me to Beverly Hills. And when I get close to him, I'm only thinking close, but I'm feeling so high. The scene of my growing.
Now, in the intro to that song and in the first verses, you don't sound like you're from Mars, but you sound like you're kind of an angel looking out of the window on a sunny day. Your vocal modulation, the arrangement, the stronger than usual South African accent, all add up to a song with kind of an uplifting, joyful feeling, although not necessarily all throughout the lyrics. So what prompted that song? Has it been in your head a while, or did you just sort of wake up to a sunny day in L.A. and decide to write it?
I mean, the stalkerish song speaks for itself, Patrick. Wait, so you said my South African accent was, you could hear it pretty well?
I can hear you pretty well, yeah.
So, so the song, obviously, it talks exactly, it's very pretty straightforward. I mean, I met my neighbor here in Beverly Hills and ended up falling in love with him. And we ended up producing this entire album together. And the song, you know, was about him. It was about our rocky start as becoming a couple, you know, a lot of mixed signals, a lot of back and forth, little cat and mouse. And then eventually we now have an album.
Yeah, how about that?
And a whole lot of love.
Even better. Now, correct me if I'm wrong, but you actually haven't released this version, which features Mata Adams on it. Is that correct?
Yeah. So the name is Mata Adams, which is also really cool because his artist name is very space themed as well. And so this version is not out yet, but it is going to come out in the next few weeks. So I'm very excited to release this version because he's also a hip-hop artist himself. And we just thought it would be a really... we would really come full circle, you know, if, you know, we thought the whole play on, you know, two neighbors met, fell in love, and then produced the song together and then both performed on it. So it's a very, very special track for sure.
Well, you know, speaking of L.A. And that song, is L.A. a good city to get to know your neighbors?
That's a loaded question. I think yes and no. I mean, yes for your neighbors because everything is so spread and so far apart that you don't really want to leave the little area that you're in unless it's really necessary because of traffic and whatnot. So it does open up meeting people closer to you much, much easier. I mean, I guess I have to say it is pretty easy. I mean, I'm obviously in a relationship with my neighbor now, so I would have to say yes.
Okay, all right.
It's funny because in New York, you have more people around you, but you feel like you know less people than I think in L.A., so that's very interesting.
Has being in L.A. affected your songwriting or your music at all?
I don't think it has affected it. It's definitely in I mean, it has enhanced it. It has. I'm obviously always inspired if I'm ever in a new city, but I think I'm still inspired by the same things about, you know, individuality and my African roots and falling in love. And I think those things can happen anywhere just because it's inside of me. So, but yes, I mean, I've definitely written a lot more about LA just because I've been here and I've been a lot more inspired by the city. So it definitely has been actually more dominant in my more recent songs.
Well, you know, speaking of your other music, I spent the week listening to all of your other songs, your previous albums, which is not hard because you're at the top of my playlist on Spotify. As I listen to songs,
favoritism. Well, I love it.
As I, well, there you are. You know, as I listen to songs,
I'm gonna need to know
your favorite. Well, we're going to get to that. We're going to get to that, okay?
Yeah.
Songs like Radiohead and Shockwaves, and then, of course, I've been listening to this album. But I can hear the growth and maturity in your voice and your songwriting. Over the past 3 years, I can, because I've sat down and just listened to everything you've done since Radiohead, I can really see it or hear it. Over the past 3 years, have you undertaken kind of a conscious effort to sharpen the control over your voice and over your producing skills and your songwriting, or has it just kind of evolved as you've been here?
I think it's both. I think I'm always willing to learn. I'm always trying to better myself. But also, I think naturally, just as you get older and the more things you go through in life and the more you learn, you will naturally grow and hopefully become better. I have been through a lot, and I think that it definitely bleeds through in my music. And I have had people tell me that in the last few years or most recently that I've written the best and performed the best. And it's obviously a very, it's a great feeling to feel like you are, you know, always going up and you're not going down. And my dad always says, you know, you're not your best self until you've had your worst. I've definitely had my worst. And yeah, I think I can hear the growth myself. And, you know, sometimes when I hear a couple of songs from my previous albums, I'll be like, oh, that one line's a little clumsy and I probably should have used less words and I could have sang that line better. So naturally, you are always trying to improve, but also it's just also coming naturally as I grow.
Well, one example on this album, to me at least, of your development, it happens to be also my favorite song on the album, and that's Space DJ. And that's because of the hook in it. It really sticks with me. But then as I listen to it over and over again, I begin to hear all the complexity in there beyond the hook. So I'm going to play a little of it for our listeners, and then we can talk a little bit about all that complexity. So here's Space DJ.
We lost his heartbeat, but the Space DJ put the rhythm in the air. His pulse stopped, now he's our Space DJ.
I can tell you about the life of a spaceman. He was with you last ride, did you last so? Nobody's man ever sent.
Nobody's man ever sent.
I'd have to go back in time before they can do it so. We're all dead alive for a while. Now we're choosing to climb by kids. Bubble from me when you hear.
We launch his heartbeat, but the Space DJ put the rhythm in the air. His pulse stops, now he's our Space DJ.
It's hard to integrate sound effects into a song without sounding contrived. But you did it in that. And there's also a lot of little details in there, sounds that you make with your voice and then you insert. So the result is that in that song, the whole is more than the sum of the parts, and it's addictively hooky. It feels like that song was kind of percolating in your mind for a while. Is that true, or just sort of flowed out?
Well, I think the sounds you're referring to are my quirky little animal sounds, where I'm just like, aw.
Right.
My natural little bee and African self coming through. That song, it came, I've kind of wanted to write a song like that for a while, because I am super quirky and I have very quirky type songs, but it's very emotional and it's a very uplifting and very powerful song because it's talking about a great loss turning into a great beat, and it's kind of taking something negative and turning it into something beautiful. And so I definitely love it in that sense because it's an anthem for taking a negative thing and turning it into a positive.
You know, one of these days we're going to have to talk about, or maybe you can write about or write poetry about the negative things that, because you said you've been through a lot, but I don't know much about that, and you don't talk about that, and for obvious reasons, but, you know, that might be a good source of poetry in the future. But in the present.
I think the music is poetry for me, but I don't necessarily speak about it. I mean, I do mention that I've been through a loss of someone in my life, but you know, it is difficult and I'm always going to be challenged with that, but I do use my music to talk about it a lot, which is kind of my outlet for that. But poetry would definitely be helpful as well.
Okay. All right. Well, I'm looking forward to that. Right now, I want to remind our listeners that we are talking with you. We are talking with Binks, and you can talk with her too, or you can email us. We've already got some emails here. So why don't we just turn to the emails? We have a very short email from Roscoe in San Francisco, and he wants to know, does the bee have a sting?
Of course.
All right. Tell me about the sting.
I mean, you hear it every time I release a song, every time I wear something, I'm coming out with a bang. So.
Thank you, Roscoe, for that question.
Thank you, Roscoe.
Ray from San Diego writes, I had a look at videos of you in the costume, and the bee is cool. Do you think you'll ever stop being the bee?
At this point, I would say no, never, but I also never say never. But I just think, you know, my alter ego is called the African Bee. And thank you for that. That's a great question. The African Bee was kind of something I wanted to differentiate who I really am to my performer self. And, you know, it's my David Bowie, Ziggy Stardust thing. It's something that will always come out when I'm on stage because I feel like I was meant to perform. And I will always have it in my shows. I won't always dominantly be the African Bee. You know, I want to wear other outfits. I want to... You know, there's different versions of myself that I'm always going to want to explore and portray, but there will always be a space to show off the African Bee for sure.
Well, I think it kind of helps that you spent part of your career as a model, and you really know costume, makeup, presentation, all of that, because that's one of the things that makes your live performance is really special, and I've been to many of them, and they're all special. And incidentally, you're welcome. Anybody out there has an opportunity to see her live, you should do so. Selena in New York, we miss you in the city. I know you've been here since you left, but you should remember your fans here.
That's so sweet. Thank you, Selena. Just before I dive into that, just to add to the African Bee thing. I mean, I also do it because I'm an ambassador for Saving the Bees. My music helps to save the bees. So, you know, that's always going to be an important part of that. But I will never forget about New York. I mean, New York, I feel like I'm a New Yorker. I lived there almost six years of my life. So, you know, they always say if you're not a real New Yorker till you've cried on the subway, and I've cried multiple times on that subway. And it definitely, I think it definitely gave me a thicker skin and taught me how to fight harder, you know, to come out here to LA. I've definitely fought the beast in New York, and I'm always planning to come back there. I mean, my bestest friends live there, so it's never going to be lost for sure.
I never heard that thing about crying on the subway, but thank you.
I think it's from a TV show, but I love it.
All right. Okay. Well, you know, as I mentioned at the top of the hour and other places too, you're one of the hardest working artists I know, and it seems like you're never stop writing songs, you never stop posting videos, you're always performing live, you're always recording, and yet, you know, because I know you personally, you never seem to be tired. How do you do that? Where does all that energy come from?
Oh, Patrick. I think that I don't show people when I'm tired because I mean, I've said recently a lot that it's kind of a blessing and a curse that I work so hard because I am a workaholic, but I'm obsessed with what I do. I love it. It doesn't feel like work. It's play for me because I want to do it more than anything. But I do overexert myself, and I have trouble sleeping because I'm so creatively enlightened all the time. So it is a blessing and a curse, and I do suffer from burnouts because I do too much too fast. So I think that's my goal for next year, is to definitely try to balance a little bit better. But I mean, like I said, I'm super happy being able to record and being able to perform on stage. There's nothing else I would rather want to do.
Well, when next time you feel like you're burning out and you want to take a break, come visit us in Mexico.
Take a tropical holiday in Mexico. Yes, I will have
yes.
to.
Okay, all right.
You've got a room for me, right?
And this is the real Mexico, too. Now, you know, you came up with this idea of releasing a song a week and building up to an album, and it's a good idea, and other people are doing it, too. And in these days of streaming and hot competition and low attention spans, it's a very good idea. I noticed that Space DJ, so like we were talking earlier, came out of the shoot with over 20,000 plays on Spotify. And this week, Melk has surpassed 11,000. So it seems like your strategy is working. But I was going to ask you, is releasing a song a week a whole lot more work than just releasing the album?
Oh, my goodness. So, yes, it definitely is. And you hit the nail on the head when you were talking about, you know, the low attention span that we have nowadays. I think my whole point of doing that was because of that reason is just, you know, I mean, even celebrities and well-known artists, people are struggling to listen to their full albums. And I still believe in albums 100%. I love knowing that I have like a collective body of work that I can associate with a different time period and different feeling in my life at that stage. So I do love it for that purpose. But at the same time, I know that if a celebrity is struggling to have someone like a diehard fan listen to their whole album, that, you know, it's going to be 10 times more difficult for someone who's not as well known, such as myself. And I knew that each song on the album was single worthy as well. So to have the chance to always be up in the top search for Spotify, you know, I kept popping up every week, and Instagram, and there was always something fresh and something new for people to listen to. They weren't overloaded with content at one time, and it didn't just peak and then drop, you know, it was kind of like a peak and then a little slow and then a peak and then a slow and a peak. So it's definitely been fun as well, just for my own personal sense. Like, I've enjoyed looking forward to a Thursday night every week because the song is coming out and it's something more to celebrate, and it's exciting. People let me know what they think of the songs, and, you know, each person loves a completely different song. So it definitely helped with being able to drop an album because people had me in small doses, and it seemed to work in my favor for sure.
And it also gives you an opportunity to have a release party every week, too, or at least a release celebration.
Exactly.
All right. Well, before we get too deeply into what goes on at the release parties, why don't we play one of those songs? And this is a particularly interesting song. This is Melt.
I remember gazing into your brown eyes in a red car, top down mountain drive. I remember the sparkling poolside as we dove in. Oh, those were the best days of my life. Can't quit that name, red lips. Yeah, 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 you wanna be famous. Drop your mask down the drain.
There's a line, and I mean, I love all the lines in there, but there's one that really sticks out to me: soundtrack, soundtrack, soundtrack. Right? what does that mean, anyway?
I mean, it's probably just sound like a broken record. No, I mean it's just a fun emphasis on the. I was talking about the Grease soundtrack, like Summer Lovin' and Summer, all of that.
It's really cool. You know, it really sticks in your head. You can't forget it. I also love the cover photo. Is that you and your brother at an early age on the cover photo?
Yes, it is. It's so funny. I don't know. I didn't really ever think to use a picture like that, and I'm so puffy. I look like I enjoyed one too many sweets back in the day. the face that my brother is pulling and the face that I'm pulling is, you know, the whole song is written in that area where we're, like, in that swimming pool. We used to ride a little, like, mini motorbike in the grass, and we'd, like, make little secret hideouts. So that whole song is all about me growing up in Elliot in South Africa. So it's a really fun song just to kind of, it's kind of like reading a journal entry from when you were, like, seven, you know?
Well, I love it. But I was kind of curious as to, why was this time the right time for that song?
Why was this time the... Well, actually, one of my best friends from New York, Blaine, he is obsessed with the song. I played it for him one time. And I kind of do, like, mini focus groups with my, like, really good friends, and they kind of help me because I write so many songs that I don't know anymore, like, which ones are the strongest, so... When I was in New York, I had a little focus group, and they all let me know their favorites. And I didn't really know if Milk was going to be like a big song or, you know, and Blaine just kept asking me to record the song. So I kind of recorded it just because I was like, you know, he loves it. So let me record it. And he often picks the songs that do the best. So, and I mean, the song is perfect because I wrote it about me deciding to move to Los Angeles, and to remember who you are, where you come from, and to not get caught up with social media and money and fame, to always stay true to yourself. And I have a line in there where I say, you know, we're nothing without the bees, because I'm saving the bees. And it's kind of just telling us to get perspective and to not be so lost in social media and to also try to make a difference in the world.
Well, a little money and fame never hurts, particularly in the music business. But I appreciate the sentiment there. Do you have a focus group here in Los Angeles?
My focus group is just my friends always. I don't have a focus, like, they're not actually a focus group. I just call them that just because they're so helpful in helping me decide because they want to listen to the songs. But I just like writing music that has purpose and messages and that are super uplifting.
And I can see next week all of a sudden pops up on Facebook the Binks focus group. But we'll see about that. Okay.
We can start one.
Yeah, right. Maybe. We're about out of time, but I want to change the mood a little bit with another song that is really kind of outstanding to me, and that's The Hill.
Run that red light, yellow and green, because everyone knows I'm rushing for a future brighter than when I was 19. Yeah, you know I'm still hustling for a stage bigger than mine.
That is it's a pretty strong statement, particularly musically, it's a strong statement. The keyboards behind your vocals and the drum machine, they kind of sand down your feminine voice and give you a strength that transcends a lot of pop music. Are you kind of edging into musical and lyrical realms beyond the pop music genre there, or have they always been there and you're just now exploring them?
I've always been exploring different genres and different aspects of my music and vocals. I was actually going to mention that, you know, when I said Maida Adams produced the album, we co-produced the album, and that was something. I've always co-produced my music, but this was the first time that I was really, really hands-on in every step of the process. So it was really exciting and really new for me to learn how to really, like, tune every instrument. You know, I've even got, like, I even play djembe on Phantom and Neighbors, and so I've been really, really involved, and this song is just super powerful because I basically, you know, wanted the message out there that, you know, success is an incredible thing, and we all want success, whatever that definition of success is for each individual, but for me, it was important to write a song that said I didn't want success if I wasn't able to celebrate with the people that I love most. So, you know, it's about celebrating success with all the people closest to you who've had your back and who've helped you along every step of the hardships as well as, you know, the successes. So,
well, that's how you get to be successful in the music industry. And speaking of success, and we've gotten a couple of emails while we've been talking. People want to know about your tour, and I know you're headed off to London and South Africa. Real quickly, you want to tell people where you're going to be playing?
I'm not actually heading to London. I'm heading to South Africa in 2 weeks, so I'll have a couple shows. I'm going to be performing in Cape Town and then East London, my hometown as well. And then when I get back to the States, we're going to plan I've got a show at the end of January already in Los Angeles. And yeah, I do have plans to go to Europe next year, hopefully around, I think end of, actually we don't really know, sometime in the summer, So perhaps some shows there. That would be awesome.
Well, let me know if you you go to England, because, you know, we have a partnership with the Artistic Echoes Network and Canalside Radio in England, and maybe we can let people know that you're coming. Are you excited about going back to South Africa with a brand new album?
Incredible. Thank you for that, Patrick. And yeah, I'm so excited. I really can't wait. You know, I go back to South Africa to get to see my family, and to be able to perform in my hometown is always a special thing, because, you know, I'm actually going back to the same room where I started writing songs for the first time, my little pink bedroom. And so it's always a nice reality check to go home, see everyone. And definitely with my new album, I mean, there's nothing better than having new music to play for people and for them to see how I've grown and all the lessons I've learned along the way through my music.
Well, I know that your given name is Bianca, and that Binks is an affectionate name I think your brother gave to you as a child and just stuck. Does the family still call you Binks?
People call me a mix of both. So, because I was named after Mick Jagger's ex-wife, Bianca Jagger. So I think my closest friends and family will call me a mix of both Bianca and Binks.
Okay. All right. Well, whatever they call you, I call you a star. And you are...
All right.
You are so much fun to listen to. You are so much fun to talk to. You are so much fun to watch on stage. So before you go, I know you released Be From Mars on last night at 9 o'clock. Where should people go to get your music?
So everything is available wherever you can stream music: Spotify, Apple, iTunes, Google Play, TikTok. Like, music is everywhere now. You just type in Binks, B-I-N-X, and then B from Mars. Pretty straightforward.
And there'll be a whole page of platforms where people can get your music. Well, Binks,
and then
thank
I guess
you.
My social handles are a bit different, and they're Binks Official. They're B-I-N-X, and then Official on all of my social medias. And then my TikTok handle is Binks Buys, which it's B-I-N-X-B-U-Y-S. It's pronounced base, but I think that'll be confusing for the spelling.
Yes. Okay. Well, Binks, thank you so much for taking the time. I know you're sitting in a car right now, and you have been for the past 40 minutes. So thank you so much for being with us.
Very hot, but you're worth it, Patrick.
All right. That's Binks, the South African bee. She's got her third album out now, Bee From Mars. To me, it's her best work to date, and you're going to love it. So stream it at Spotify, buy it on Apple Music and all the other platforms, TikTok, if you're on TikTok. And if you ever get to see the chance to see her live, do so. And please post video from the show if you can and tag her so we can all enjoy it. Let me remind everybody, you've been listening to Music Sin Fronteras with Patrick O'Heffernan. That's me from the CyberStation USA network, the Blog Talk Radio network, and our radio affiliates. Like our Facebook page, follow our Twitter feeds, get real-time updates on our guests. Our producer is Lars Christensen. Our program director is Jason Bartleben. You can download this and other Music Sin Fronteras programs at blogtalkradio.com, and we're also on iTunes. Tune in next week. We're going to talk to another great artist from one side of the border or the other. We'll let you know on our Twitter stream and our Facebook page, so follow them and we'll update you. In the meantime, have a great musical weekend. Tener un gran fin de semana musical. And here is some more of that great music from Binks.
I'm looking through my window. I can see you laid on. Be it spending more than that on. Follow the colors of the wind. It took me to Beverly Hills. And when I get close to him. I'm only thinking for fun, I'm feeling so high. The thing no longer with love, yeah, that's fine. Turning out a television, I'm spread loud. Every time I come down, falling for my leaving. Tell me, is it dangerous?
Predator than anyone ever imagined.
Perfectly designed.
I wonder which came first.
CyberStation USA is the future of radio. Get your business into the online future at the world's largest internet radio station. From banner placement on our homepage to any of our broadcaster stages, commercials on our video player, audio spots on any of our shows, or at the beginning of any of our on-demand broadcasts. CyberStation USA offers competitive rates with a worldwide reach, a fully integrated one-stop-shop social media broadcast platform. For more information, please contact our sales department at cameo@cyberstationusa.com.
Cameo Entertainment Group and CyberStation USA are now part of Stitcher, a free radio app for your smartphone. With Stitcher, you can listen to live programming as well as archive radio programming right on your phone. To obtain Stitcher, just go to the App Store for your particular phone. Go to search, then type in Stitcher. That's Stitcher. S-T-I-T-C-H-E-R.
S-T-I-T-C-H-E-R.
Then download. It's that simple.
Stitcher,
a free radio app for your smartphone. Convenient access to live and archive CyberStation USA programming on your mobile phone. That's Stitcher.
S-T-I-T-C-H-E-R.
CyberStation USA, always on the go.
Every so often you have technology come along that rewrite the rules of the game.
Digital culture isn't characterized by the home computer.
You speak instantly to a man standing on the shore of France.
The CyberStation, the USA, the .com.
Worldwide. Everything has changed.
A new age.
The biggest ride in all of history.
This is CyberStationUSA.com.
Worldwide.
This is the future.
The future.
Radio.
The future.
The future of radio.
And that really is the message.